Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Welcome to Onceable, Hypeable's Once Upon a Time podcast. I'm Jen, not Brittany, because Brittany is not feeling very well, so she has this evening off. But I'm Jen, and I am joined by Kristen and Karen. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hello.
So we are going to discuss this latest episode, The Brothers Jones, which clearly features a lot of Hook. So you guys have to understand that Brittany is incredibly upset that she's not on this episode for all the Hook talk. And I'm going to read verbatim all the lovely things that she put in here about Hook, because there's some commentary. So you're going to get that, and I want you all to remember that this is Brittany's POV. Okay. You can reach us all on Twitter at Onceable, and we love to hear from you guys, so definitely send us your tweets. And let's get started with this episode, because I know there are some strong feels going around right now. Is this a thumbs up or a thumbs down? And Kristen, I'm going to start with you, because I already know what Karen's going to say.
For me, it's a thumbs sideways. It wasn't a great episode. There were some parts that really, like, pulled me out of it. But ultimately, I think it was better than last week. I could be alone in that. But, you know, it was an improvement for me. So I'll say a thumbs sideways.
All right, Karen. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, yes, it was definitely better than last week. Anything would be better than last week. Getting my teeth pulled would be better than last week. I would say that this is a thumb sideways for me as well. I didn't love it, but definitely an improvement. I didn't mind the Hook stuff, honestly, for the most part. It was the Hades stuff that really just made me so angry this week, which I'm sure we will get into.
Oh, I know. So everyone should tune in for next week's episode of Onceable, and Karen will have very strong feelings, is all.
I'm going to yell a lot. I'm warning everybody right now. I was furious.
Like, you know, all those gifs of Hades' head exploding, that was Karen. No joke. That was Karen.
We legit all got those. That happened. For me, it's kind of a thumbs sideways, almost thumbs down. Like, I wasn't into it. Like, as much as I love Killian, like, his brother is kind of a jerk. And I really didn't care. Is that wrong? I didn't care.
Yeah.
Not his a good sign.
His brother just wasn't very compelling. Like,
no.
I didn't believe him most of the time. And I knew there was something that he was hiding, and it was dumb. And I was, he kind of annoyed me. So,
yeah,
I just
enjoyed
the hookness of it all and pretendedly.
Yeah, even Hook was a little tonight, which is, I mean, for me to say that, ladies, that's a big deal.
He was on his game, though. Like, he wasn't sexy Hook. He was depressed Hook, and that's just...
Maybe that's what it was. I need some little peppy, sassy, sexy Hook. That's what I need. Yeah. I don't need this other poor me crap. Put that away for a while and just look cute. Can we make that happen? No? Sorry. It's been a very long day. All right, so let's move on to our favorite quotes. Go ahead, Kristen. I'm going to let you go first.
Mine is between David and Snow, and it was when he was like, he kissed you, talking about, that was last week, and it was Snow and
James.
Thank you. Sorry, my brain just blanked on names. Okay, so yeah, this was last week when Snow and James kissed, and so David is responding to that and says, he kissed you, and Snow says, thought it was you, and he goes, let's go, and the look on his face when he says, let's go, it's like, I'm gonna get him this time, and it so beautifully reminded me of the, we were cursed, when, from season two, when Snow was like, you know, you went out with Whale, and yeah, so it was a lovely little throwback to that, just the way she said, thought it was you.
Awesome, go ahead, Kara.
And mine is when Henry is up in his bedroom being an angsty teenager, and David goes up there to, like, talk him through some stuff, and he's all like, let's make this all about me, let's talk about me, which, first of all, was really funny, and I just, like, rolled my eyes. But then Henry goes, please don't make this a lesson. And David just goes, too late. And I feel like this is just like Once Upon a Time in a nutshell. How else do you describe it? And it was hilarious, but it was also a little meta, and I was like super into it.
Very fun. I have the one where Liam says to Emma, no, because I already know you're not good enough. I was like, oh, burn, and you've known her for a hot 5 seconds, man. What? I couldn't believe his whole attitude when really he is the one that's not good enough to be Killian's brother. But there was that. And then the other one that there was another like section I really liked, but I forgot to grab the quote from it. And it's when David is with Cruella. And she's like, oh, couldn't you have pretended to be James just a little bit longer? Like, oh, Cruella, you sassy thing. Like, and she was totally going for it. She didn't care. He was just like, okay, I'm done. How does he stand this? And she, like, knew all along. I thought that was pretty funny, too.
Oh, and shout out to when Henry says, moms, because I laugh every time. It's so dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is kind of, yeah. Or who is it? Oh, Laura, who couldn't join us either tonight, did have the quote of, don't argue with your mother or your mother. And that comes from Regina. The complications. All right, I'm going to preface this by this first statement comes directly from Brittany. Killian somehow looks less hot without blood all over him. Just me? So, ladies, what do you think? Is Killian more or less hot with the blood?
I mean, it was better without the really big puffy eye, because the man has gorgeous eyes and it was a sin to hide them.
True that.
But, you know, he does look good when he's a little dirty. It's that whole, you know.
He's just like a dirty pirate? Like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. This could go bad quickly.
I agree with that sentiment completely, FYI. And I think it's just the sad puppy Killian that, like, look, I know the characters have arcs and they go through stuff, and I'm sure there's, you know, plenty of lessons to be had here, but I think I'm with you, Jen. Like, it just, this episode didn't hit me there, and I think it's a lot because of his brother, and so sad Killian just didn't make me sad. It was just like, when are you going to get over yourself, and when is it going to be happy?
Yeah. Like, could we move on past this and get you all out of hell, because it's really not working for me. All right, so Emma basically does a little magic, cleans them all up so he's pretty Killian again. Yay! However, she cannot fix him on the inside where he's broken. Still sad, but true. So Killian's still feeling badly about being the whole dark one and then having Emma come to rescue him and all this business. So what did you guys think about his poor me, I was the dark one, you turned me, blah, blah, blah? Yeah,
that's
where it lost me.
That's pretty much my thought. It's, we all know, you know, we love Hook. We love, you know, the Hook will fight for anything. And to see him, like, all defeated and just grumpy, and it's blah. So I think that might be what kind of brought this episode down a little bit, is that he was down and we're so just not used to it that, you know, it just brings everything down. So, yeah, I'm kind of glad that this is the only episode we really have to deal with this, like, sullen, sad sack Hook. Like, yeah, won't be sad to see him go.
Yeah, I think part of it is that even when Hook's, like, more upbeat, someone else can be sad and it balances it out. There didn't feel like there was any balance in this episode. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone was kind of down, and it brought the whole level of what was going on down to this very, like, sad, kind of dreary level. And I think that's what was hard about it, was that there was no, like, sometimes Hook is the snarky, you know, sarcastic guy that has a moment or two and it makes things lighter, but there was no one to counterbalance that when he was down. So I think that was really just what kind of made this episode tricky.
They needed more Cruella.
Yeah, Cruella definitely could have made it more joyful, but there clearly was not enough of her. So while they're doing these scenes and they're fixing Hook's face, they're at Emma's house, you know, the one where the door to hell is, because why wouldn't we stay there? Brittany made this observation that it looks like the land of lost children. There's the tree trunk that she was in, the crib, all the toys. There's a Winnie the Pooh and Tigger too. Did you guys notice that? I have to say, I was so out of it, I did not notice.
I didn't notice either.
Me neither.
Well, props to Brittany for being observant.
Nicely done, right. Brittany. Nicely done.
Excellent. So then we get Liam. And he has potential to be enjoyable, but he is so not. So, of course, Killian sees him and he's super excited because this is his big brother and he was so wonderful and he always did these really great things for me. And, of course, you know, he's not very nice to Emma and he kind of tries to blow Emma off and get her away from Hook as quickly as possible. And he tries to convince Hook that he should also not be with Emma. So what did you guys think about his, you know, initial appearance?
I mean, I kind of liked him. I even now still kind of like him. I like the idea of his arc, of this person that obviously Killian held up to a high standard, not being the person that he thought he was. I think it's really important not to put people on pedestals, and this was a hard lesson in that fact. And so that arc is interesting to me, and I think the brother was best when he was being righteous, but not, like, crazy person righteous, because once he started ragging on Emma, I was like, first of all, you don't even know her, and secondly, she is a fantastic person who's made mistakes. Like, I guess in that way, they're very similar, but Emma owns her mistakes, and even now, Liam was running from them and hiding them and lying to his brother, and if he had been in the underworld for all that time, I would think he would have learned his lesson by now, and if not, he's got deeper problems than they probably could even get to in this episode.
Yeah, I think a lot of my, like, general distaste for Liam had a lot to do with his, like, taking Hook's side, I'm doing that in air quotes, on this whole Emma Hook thing, because he has no idea what happened. He has no idea what went down, and he's just, you know, like, you should let him go. It's just a thing. And everybody, you know, like, watching the episode, you're like, you have no idea what happened, and why wouldn't you want your brother to go back to, like, a happy place? Like, that makes no sense. So, yeah, I think that may have kept Liam on my bad side.
Understandable. All right, so we know that, oh, and Brittany also threw in here that there was a tweet that made her think for 1 second that Rumpel was impersonating Liam. Did you guys have that vibe at all?
No.
Yeah, not no, once.
I was going to say, that may have made things better, maybe. I don't know. But he didn't, so sad. But I never really thought that.
No, I just assumed, oh, hey, Hook's brother, he would be there. He's dead. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's one of those things. Lots of dead people are there at this point in time. Everyone they've ever interacted with, let's say. So then we also know that Liam knows of a book that Hades' life is described in, and Brittany entitled it Once Upon an Undertime. And we know that there's a story in there that Hades doesn't want anyone to see. This is the story that Karen will rage about later. It'll be all right.
I was really excited to see this book and to see his story. I think, honestly, and this is just me being dumb, I think I forgot that the pictures in the storybook are actual pictures, like, from the show and the actors and stuff, not the cartoons and stuff like that. So I was like, oh, are we going to get a glimpse of the Disney movie or whatever? So that was just me being dumb. But even then, I was, like, kind of disappointed. And I was like, it just shows him in a chair. Like, we didn't even get any good hints at things until much later on. But maybe that was on purpose.
Maybe. And then so, then we see Liam in his lonely bar where nobody goes for, you know, and the underworld. It has a bar and nobody goes to drink at it. Seems a little confusing to me.
Just so they could have the pun that it was dead.
I was going to say, like, that would be the only place to be. If you're in the underworld, like, you're in the bar.
I would drink a lot.
That would be my thought, obviously. So Hades shows up with his, you know, ridiculous blue hair and whatnot, and talks to Liam and says that if Liam gets him the pages out of the book, then he will keep Liam's dirty little secrets And at this point, we have absolutely no idea what that secret is. None. Nothing. So we kind of go from there into a flashback. And this is of Liam and Killian. And, well, Killian's kind of a deadbeat. This is before he is the ever-charming Captain Hook. This is Killian Jones pre-pirate, where he's just a drunk who gambles away his silver.
Again, so sad.
Sad, but true.
Such sad Killian, and I'm just, ugh.
I still don't believe that Killian gambled away his silver. I think
I don't Captain either. I think the guy got silver him drunk.
Jerk, yeah. Yeah, I think Captain Silver Jerk got him drunk and then took his silver and just told his brother that he gambled it. So I've decided that that's the way it happened.
I love it. You're like, this is the story in my brain and this is what I'm going with.
Can we just call him Captain Silver Jerk, like, for the end of time?
Yes, it works for me.
Yeah, that's pretty much his role.
Anyway, so they have a whole thing where Liam's going out to get them their, what are they called? Their placement in the in the Navy, and he goes off, leaves Hook, it ends badly. And Killian kind of struggles a little bit with his abandonment issues, and just in general, like, he struggled even when he wasn't, you know, in the underworld, when he was in his regular life with Liam. So they kind of go off, and they are stuck on the boat because Liam refuses to leave Hook. So I think Hook carries around a lot of guilt for getting his brother stuck in that predicament and having to make him stay with Silver Jerk. And so from there, it kind of just goes on to continue with the story. And then Liam makes a very brave move, and he kind of realizes that Silver Jerk is going after, and he's directing the whole entire crew into the Eye of the Storm, because evidently there's a magic rock in the middle of the Eye of the Storm. It's this beautiful blue crystal, because that's what the Eye of the Storm is. Yeah. I don't even know what that myth is. I have nothing for that.
Like, if that never shows up again, I'm going to be pissed. Like, I want
it makes
that
no
to
sense.
Have... Well, it was, like, super important, and then dude had it, and then poof, it never showed up again in the episode. And I'm like, it's got to be important down the line, or this was the silliest, like, most ridiculous thing ever.
Exactly. So during this flashback, we watch Liam kind of take over and call mutiny, basically, on the ship for Silver Jerk, because he's being very dangerous. So he takes over. He goes down to try to plot their course away from the storm. And Killian is manning the ship. And the problem is Liam cannot figure out a way to save the crew. And miraculously, Hades shows up to offer him a deal. Were you guys a little bit surprised that he kind of just showed up on board? Like, I was confused.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I really like Kristen's comment when she was like, just turn the boat around. Like... spin the wheel, and you'll go the other way. You can get out of the storm.
Well, and it was point the boat anywhere but the storm. Like, at this point, they were staring the storm in the face. So I know that you have to eventually plot a course so you don't get lost. But, like, immediately, why wouldn't you begin turning the boat? Because it's a long process. Like, yeah, I just couldn't get it.
I don't know. So anyway, he strikes a deal, which really has nothing to do for himself except to be like, oh, hey, by the way, I'm just going to save myself and my brother, but you, Hades, lucky winner, can have all the souls on board. So basically, Liam is just as bad as Captain Silver Jerk and gives away the entire crew to Hades. The only ones that are spared are Killian and his brother.
My big question here is, why does Hades care? It's a drop in the bucket for him. Those, like,
he
10
clearly needs to, like, collect those souls. I don't know what his deal is. He's very particular about the souls he keeps. I don't know.
He was more maybe he was trying to get the Eye of the Storm in play. Like, maybe he didn't really care about any of the souls truly, and he was trying to put this stone in play. I don't know.
I don't know. It didn't make a lot of sense. That part of the plot line kind of made me a little confused. Like, why go up and take... Yeah. I don't know. I got nothing. Anyway, moving on from there, Killian and his brother wash up on shore, and they meet this lovely, lovely captain of one of the best Navy ships there is, and they join his crew. And we see them there, you know, in other flashbacks and stuff. So then we hop back to the present, where Liam finds the pages. Henry and everyone, well, we have the incident between David and Corella, which was fantastic. In order to get the key to go into the mansion. Excellent. So the whole gang goes to the mansion. Now, somebody please explain to me why we let Liam search the house by himself. Nobody else thought to go in there with him? Like, you couldn't buddy up? Anyone?
No? I think at that point, Emma was still, like, so worried about what Hook thought of her blaming Liam or not trusting Liam that she let him go off on her on his own. But the thing is, Emma, like, we've known this from season one. She has that superpower, like, lie detector thing. She knows. And I feel like, yeah, that was kind of a plot device. Like, they could have handled it better, I think.
Yeah. Like, you knew the second he was going to be alone that it was going to be like, oh, look, I'm going to find the pages and we're done with this now. So he finds them. He rips them out. He tries to, like, be like, oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I'm going to have hope. I'm going to have hope that because those pages are ripped out that they still exist. And I'm like, dude, they're in your pocket. Yes, you should have hope. I don't know. Like, it just, it really bothered me. I could not get behind this storyline. But
smooth liar, though. I mean, I, at
that point, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, at that point, I was like, okay, you're definitely playing the game. You know what people want to hear.
Yeah. So he moves along, and Emma can't let it go. Emma truly feels like he's done something, and because, well, he has. So Emma goes out to see him, and he's dropped the pages down to Hades in his little, you know, well of a chute. And Emma calls him on it, and he's like, no, but he's got ink on his hands. So Emma's like, I know he's done this. I know he had the pages. You know, make him show you your hands. There's going to be ink on his hands, blah, blah, blah. And Hook is like, I don't need proof. He's my brother. What is wrong with you, Emma? And kind of blamed Emma, which was lame. Anyway.
I'm blaming that on Sad Sack Hook.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of anger this episode, and misdirected anger and misguided anger, I think, is what really bothered me, because so much of this really, truly just has to do with manipulation of other, you know, other characters. And why was Hook so easily manipulated? Oh, wait, because he was guilty and feeling sorry for himself. You know what I mean? So it kind of has this, like, interlocking set of events because, oh, poor me. And it kind of just spiraled from there. And, oh, my brother, he's so admirable. And I've always looked up to him, so he would never do anything like this. Until you realize that he actually did. And when you look at his hands, they're covered in ink. Good job, Hook. Well, good job.
And this was so frustrating, too, because it's like, clearly, Liam is down there for a reason. Like, he didn't move on like Neil did. So he has some unfinished business. It means he did something kind of shady, or, you know, something shady happened within his lifetime. And the fact that Hook just completely disregards Emma for no real reason other than this is the man he knew however many years ago, we don't know. And, yeah, the manipulation just seemed really, like, they stretched it there. I will say, though, I did like the way that Emma kind of laid down the facts and then walked away. She was like, you don't want to listen to me? Fine, but I know I'm right. And she walked away, and it wasn't her doubting herself. It wasn't like she necessarily blamed Hook or anything. She didn't whine about it. She was just like, here are the facts, and I'm out. You deal with it however you need to deal with it.
Exactly. So then he realizes what's gone on with Liam, right? And so then they kind of go from there, and then they end up, oh, and then the rest of the pirates come, and they're like, oh, Liam, you're in so much trouble. And Hook's like, but men, but why? He saved you. And they're all like, oh, no, actually, you have no idea what's happened. And so they basically, I did find this part a little amusing, not gonna lie. They basically go and walk the plank into Hades, like, dungeon. I mean, come on, really? Awesome. Let's make them walk the plank. I'm sorry, I took it a little too far. So they go down there, and Hades shows up because he is unimpressed by this. He does not... he doesn't want to kill Liam. He wants to save Liam and end Hook because Liam did as he was asked, and Hook basically escaped the dungeon and was like, see ya, and did not follow through with carving names onto the gravestones. So we kind of just, we have this moment where Hades is being Hades. He's a little angry. He's a lot annoyed. He literally blows one of the pirates into the, what is it, the Pit of Lost Souls? I don't even know where we're at this point.
That was Silver.
Yeah, was it Silver?
Yeah.
Oh, he I looks think so it was different Silver. Without his roguish hat.
Right? Yeah. It's hard to keep
yeah.
it straight.
It's, I know, there's so many pirates. But, like, literally, so when he, like, turns around and just, like, blows air at him and, like, pushes him into... Wasn't that not just odd? Like, you couldn't, like, flick your wrist or something. Like, it was just an odd choice.
Okay. This is how I feel about this, because...
Here we go.
Well, no. I liked it. It was a little cheesy.
Really?
It was a little cheesy, I'm not gonna lie, but a lot of things on Once Upon a Time, particularly in this episode, were cheesy. Like, even Hook had some really cheesy lines, and I was like, oh god. This felt a little to me like he has all of this power that all it takes is a single breath, and he can just knock you over. And it felt like the kind of Hades that we get in the movie, where he's very cocky. He doesn't have to do a whole lot to show his power. And it made him feel more dangerous to me.
Okay. It's not where I thought you were going with that.
I'm full of surprises.
Yeah, you got me on that one. I don't know. I thought it was a little cheesy. Maybe by then I had reached my, like, cheese limits, like I couldn't do it anymore.
Totally possible.
Yeah, that could have definitely happened. So then to continue with the cheese factor, Liam somehow, like, does this backflip over Hook and like slides off the edge of the plank and is like holding on for dear life, and Hook's trying to save him. It's a very emotional moment that I did not find emotional at all. And then he's telling Liam, forgive yourself, forgive yourself. That whole big speech. And then Liam falls. Only to be uplifted by a boat.
Got that boat.
And then the white lights come. I don't know. This part, I was done. I totally checked out. I'm not gonna lie.
When the boat first showed up and Liam was standing in it, he was rocking back and forth and the boat was rocking side to side. And it's like,
oh, that's amazing.
It was hilarious because he was rocking the wrong direction. And it's like, when they shot this, they told him which way to rock. And then when they decided to do the CGI, they just did it the wrong way. So, like, you could see the boat rocking and he was going the opposite direction. It was hilarious.
I thought I was the only one that noticed that. And, like, I wasn't going to say anything. This is amazing, Kristen, because it was bothering the hell out of me. I was like, he looks like he's just too. Swaying back and forth. It's so dumb.
Yep. Yep. And it's because they made the boat face the wrong way. If it would have been facing forward, it would have been fine.
They made it
face sideways and it was so weird.
Oh, it's the little things. It's all in the detail, kids. So, but my favorite part is when he gives his speech, and then Killian's like, come on, all of you get on the boat. You're all free now. And I'm like, what is this? What is this? And then Hades has a temper tantrum because all of those souls no longer belong to him.
Which was kind of funny and, like, gratifying, because I was like, you totally thought this was going to go one way, and it went completely the opposite way, and you just lost, like, 10 people.
Yeah, that sucks for you. So I still don't get, like, here's the thing. Just once, I would like them to not be able to save someone. Because really, every episode, are we going to send somebody else off out of the underworld in a big white light? Like, yeah. I feel like it's becoming a theme, and it's kind of boring.
They need to save just everybody, Jen. Everybody.
Just once, everybody. I want someone to fail. Is that so wrong?
Well, Silver
break
failed.
Break it up a little bit.
Yeah, but he was a jerk.
I was going to say, yeah. Silver Jerk is now in the bad place.
It's probably where he belongs, let's be real. But, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if this is what every episode's going to be, it's going to be incredibly repetitive and boring.
Oh, wait, didn't What's-Her-Face die, too?
Yeah, but that was on Rumple, and that was complete. She's in the Lost Soul Puddle. That's where she is.
Yeah, she's in the River of Lost Souls.
Yeah, that's completely different.
They couldn't say, like, though, just saying.
True.
It's not the same. You know it. Let's just see what happens to Rumple. I say we wake him walk the plank and see what happens. I say Hades gets, you know, a bonus, but could just be me. All right. So moving right along after that whole moment that they shared and wasn't that lovely, we realize that Henry has found the quill and the ink. And that he runs into the apprentice before he finds the quill and the ink. He runs into the apprentice who says, "Hey, yeah, I'm stuck here because of you, kid. You're my unfinished business. And depending on how you choose to play this out, depends on if I stay or if I go. No pressure. No pressure, teenager, who is also the author. Make this happen." So he doesn't really tell him one way or another how that's going to work out. He just says, once you choose, my fate will depend on it. And he can't, you know, he initially said, don't save Corella, but then he kind of took it back and said, well, it's your choice. And however you choose, you know, that's going to be what where we're going to go. So Henry kind of is in this, like, moody teenage mode. Did you guys get that vibe from him this episode?
Actually, no.
No?
I thought it was really funny that they were like, you know, he's being a moody teenager up there. I was like, he's kind of the only one that was taking direct action to fix the overarching problem. Like, it wasn't just about Hook for him. It was about everybody. And he had a little bit of, you know, I'm doing this for my mom kind of thing, but at the same time, like, I do have to think of the bigger picture. And I thought he was the only one that was really weighing the consequences of his actions for everybody.
Okay. I was thinking more when they were going to look for the house, and he was all like, he made some comment about, yeah, that's right, leave me behind or leave me alone or something. Like, it was just a very odd thing for Henry to say. It didn't feel very Henry-like. Could have just been me being pulled down by everybody else.
No, I mean, I kind of got his point at the time because, you know, I think it was Emma who was like, we're all going to go look. Henry, you stay here. And he was like, why? Like, why am I staying here? Like, why do we need a lookout? We're in the sorcerer's house where Hades can't go. Like, why? It didn't make sense to me that they needed a lookout. Like, I just assumed he'd look too. So, yeah, I understood where he was coming from, but I see your point too. Like, he was kind of being a little moody.
Yes. All right. So we know that Henry gets the quill and the ink. And then when David goes and gives him his talk, his lesson talk, Henry decides to come clean about having the quill and the ink. And Henry makes a decision that he is going to do what he's supposed to do and write the story from the beginning. So he is going to write Hades' story. And that's kind of where that episode wraps up. And then we get the preview for next week's episode, which is called Our Decay, or as Brittany likes to call it, The Tale of the Wicked and the Damned, or Zeladies, or Hadina. What do you think?
I kind of like Zeladies.
Yeah, Zeladies has got merit.
It's atrocious. The storyline is
here
atrocious.
We go!
But before we get there, I actually do have a bit more to say about the end of the episode.
Okay, go ahead.
Because Henry, at the end of this episode, was exactly what I wanted him to be. I was so proud of him. he decided that he was going to tell everybody what he had been up to, no more lies, no more sneaking around, and he presented them all with the quill. And I'm like, okay, first of all, good job owning up to what you've been doing and making the right decision. He also, like I said before, like, he's looking at the big picture now, and he realizes that it's not just about his mom. It's about what they have to do with Hades and with everybody else in the underworld. He's going to take his power and use it for good. And I feel like sometimes on the show, the main characters, the adults, put everything on their own shoulders. And, you know, Emma always feels like she has to go off on her own and save the world. And Henry's not doing that, and he's being a better hero because of it. He knows his limitations, and he's asking people for help. And he also has this amazing solution that I'm hoping will really turn, you know, everything on its head and put some points on their team. Like, favor's going to be on their side now. And it was one of those moments where he was like, yeah, you know, I want to be a hero and I want to do the right thing and I don't want to make selfish decisions. And I was like, good for you. You're a teenager. Like, your parents sometimes can't do this. And it was just a really strong moment for him. And his whole talk about wanting to be, like, in the middle of the action, I was like, yes, put this kid in the middle of the action, because, first of all, he's turning into a great actor. And his story is so interesting, being the author, the son of the savior. He's got a lot going for him, and he's been sidelined a lot. And I think it's time to really make him the focus of the show again.
Yeah, I felt like he was the only one thinking it through. Like, mm-hmm. Everybody else is running around saving people, which is great and all, but you're only going to piss Hades off more. And you all want to, at some point, be able to leave. So, like, yeah, saving your brother is really important to Hook, but the rest of them should probably have been thinking through, like, how this was going to affect them or something at the same time. I don't know. But, yeah, so Henry is the one who's thinking, guys, we can't just keep pissing Hades off. We need to figure out a way to learn more about Hades and see what we can use against him, because clearly he doesn't want us to see this thing. So, yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think Henry is the only one who's really seeing the big picture right now, and I'm glad someone is.
I think what I like best about this aspect of Henry's storyline is that he didn't take the traditional route where he's got a secret, he's working behind everyone's back because Cruella's threatened him, and he's going to have to bend to her will to save his mom. How many times do we see that in a TV show, read it in a book? And so the fact that he didn't take that traditional road, I was so appreciative of that. Like, I thought that was a solid move on their part, because it's so played out. Like, so this is different. Now we're going to take a different road. Henry's going to step up. He's going to play a different game with Hades, which, you know, is dangerous, but I still like that it wasn't Cruella, you know, pulling the strings behind the scenes to get this kid to do what she wanted on, you know, on the fact that, oh, well, I, you know, this will save your mother if you do that. So I liked that part a lot. So that was a good part of the episode, but it was so too little too late. So, all right. And then we all know that Karen has very strong feelings about next week's episode where Xelena will be joining the underworld as Hades' lady friend. Not really sure how that works. Please tell me baby Robin is really Hades' baby, because, oh, yes, drama ensues. Sorry. That was the only thing that popped into my mind when I saw the preview. I'm like, dude, that's Robin's baby. That was their deal. That's why he likes her so much. Sorry.
I'm really, really trying not to form an opinion ahead of the episode, because maybe it will be good. Maybe it will change things. Maybe there's a good reason and I will enjoy it. But you know what? At this point, I highly doubt it. It's so dumb, and I was so hoping that when we got to see, like, his backstory, like, they were treating it as, like, okay, here's Hades' backstory, this is why he's doing what he's doing. I was chanting, Kristen was chanting with me, show me the gods, please let the gods show up. And I was like, how cool would it be to show, like, Zeus and, because in the movie, like, he and Zeus have, like, this rivalry. It would have been so cool. And they go with Zelina, and I'm like, where are you even pulling this crap from anymore?
Yeah. So is she going to be like a faux Persephone? Like, how is that going to work out? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's weird. When you have a tried and true kind of set storyline, you can do different things with the characters and their traits and what they do, but you can't just, like, outright swap. Like I feel like this is kind of the swap. Well, we can't give you Persephone, but we're gonna give you Zelina, because that makes a lot of sense. The Wicked Witch and, you know, the guy from Hell. It's awesome.
Like, what drugs were they on when they thought this up? It makes no sense.
I feel like they put all the names of the past female characters into a hat and drew them.
Yeah, it was like, okay, we can either put him with Cora, Zelina, Alice. Like, it's like, let's just throw all of the people that we've seen so far but are not currently working on the show, and we'll pick one. Yeah, I have no idea where they're going.
Should have totally put him with Duckface from Wonderland. What was the queen's name?
Come on, I liked her.
I know, Kira's the only one that liked her. Oh, I love it.
What makes me angry, anyway. Like, I mean, a lot of things make me angry, obviously. I'm sorry. Usually I'm not the one that's yelling, but clearly this I feel very passionately about this. Why couldn't they choose Persephone, or why couldn't they show us the gods? Like, it's not like they have to worry about copyright.
Yeah.
This is literally, the story is right there for them. Yeah. Why are they going off in a different direction?
Well, did you see in one of the pictures, there looked like there was a trident in one of the pictures.
Really?
Yeah, go back and look. In one of the pages, it looked like there was a trident.
Our DVR doesn't ever let us see the whole trailer. We usually get like 3/4 of it and then it cuts off the very end. So we may have missed the trident.
No. When he was looking through the pages in the actual episode. Oh. Yeah.
I could have to go back.
But go back and look. I'm pretty sure the second or third page he flipped to was an image and there was like a trident on part of the page.
God, I hope so.
I mean, please. Poseidon showing up could save some day.
I mean, we've met Poseidon, so it's not, haven't we? Yeah. So
yeah.
That's anything's possible. Oh, where's Ursula? Does she? Oh, she's not dead. Never mind. It's like, doesn't she have unfinished? Oh, wait, she's still alive. Never mind. All right. So, do you guys have any other feels about this episode?
Not any that I should say on air.
Wow, that's pretty sad.
I was gonna say the little hook moment at the end where he gets his mojo back. It's that made me really happy. Like, I'm glad that now Hook is kind of back to being Hook and he has something he's working towards, and you know, I'm glad that we got there. If this episode was literally just to get Hook back to who he truly is, then so be it, and at least we'll move on.
Do you think that he really forgives Emma, though? Brittany asked that, and I'm like, you know, I didn't think of it that way, because it seemed like they were on equal footing again, but how does he really feel? They didn't take a lot of time to explore that once his story was kind of wrapped up, because it was very close to the end of the episode.
Right, but I don't know if he 100% forgives her, and I don't know if he really forgives himself either, to be honest, for lots of things, you know what I mean? He made choices too. So yes, Emma made a bad choice, but it was the only way she could see to save everyone she loved. Do you know what I mean?
I still don't get behind that, though. Like, this whole idea, because he's mad at Emma. He says in the episode, you were so good, even as the Dark One, and I embraced it with every fiber of my being immediately. So he's mad at Emma for being a good person.
Well, he's mad at Emma for showing him his true self.
Just.
And for being stronger than he is.
Than him, yeah.
And, like, it's like his brother all over again.
I guess. I just, guys, I love Hook. I really do. He's amazing, but I kind of just wanted to tell him to get over himself this entire episode.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to get over the entire episode, to be honest. Like, and I'm, like, I've been really good. Like, I've really liked a lot of the episodes this season, but this one really just didn't resonate with me at all. we're usually not this down. Do you know what I mean? Maybe one or two of us has a complaint here or there.
Yeah.
But it's been a really long time since we've all been like, I don't know.
Well, and we were all very excited about The Underworld. Like, it's not like we went into this thinking it was going to be awful, but some of the choices they've made down there just seem like weak choices. So,
yeah,
I'm hoping that it turns around, because there's a lot of potential hanging out in The Underworld.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I want this show to be good again, because it's really fun when it's on point. And there were several moments in the episode where it was like, oh, you know, this is really funny. This kind of gives me the usual Once Upon a Time vibes. But then you just look at it overall, and I end up yelling a lot.
Oh, man. All right. So if we have nothing else to discuss, let's wrap this episode. And fingers crossed that next week's episode is better. Karen, I wish you luck.
Thank you.
So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kristen.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.